All right, what do you know? It's the John Trilly, Sherry Elliker show. Jake in for Sherry. Lots of news to get to. Let's dive into the news. Dive in, dive in, dive in. Oh, wow. Refreshing, bracing, and just enough. Here he comes.
Talking sports with Lye. He's your go-to guy for any game or feat of athleticism. Talking
yes.
Sports with Lye. Give the guy a try. Although he only got his job for nepotism. He'll tell you the score, holding a 2x4. And have the crowd cheering, begging, asking him for more. Yeah, we're talking sports with Lye.
See.
Talks.
See.
Hawks.
Wow, a little delay on the Seahawk thing there. Roller, so Seahawks beat the Panthers. No surprise, but yet a nail-biter at times. We watched the game. Let's do this part first before we get into the X's and O's. And Jake has a comment. Jake has a theory on it as well. You've gone to games since you were 4 or 5 years old. And I came to you sitting there back in section V207. And I said, why is everybody sitting? Were you shocked by that?
Yeah, I was shocked by that. And it was kind of the biggest takeaway as I settled into that seat. Because, yeah, I'm accustomed to, going to the Seahawks games. You stand the whole time and you're really involved in the game. And as I waited for you to show up, I sort of, when you got to the seat, I was like, it feels like we're at church. You know, it's third down and five. We're just sort of sitting, their legs crossed. Oh, yeah, they made a stop. We'll applaud. I think my theory on it is it's definitely where we sat. That club level is kind of, I don't know, you got the diehards down front because obviously you spend $3,000 on that ticket. And then you've got equal diehards up top. They have a lot of energy, too. We were sort of sitting in this middle ground. Great seats, by the way. Friendly atmosphere. Everyone around was very nice coming up to you. You know, all is right in the world, as we say, because a lot of people recognize you.
That feeds into my theory, Rye, which is that this is all they were all quiet just because they were so blown over by your dad's celebrity.
No.
Do you think that's the problem?
No.
Like any section you guys would have gone to, they would have just sat there quietly.
No,
staring,
no, no.
Sneaking glimpses of you guys.
Yeah. I did have somebody sneak a photo of us.
Did you really?
Yeah. So that's what somebody wrote in the Facebook page, right? That in that section, that's what people, they don't go to stand for the whole game. So maybe it is that section that has a more sort of laid back, casual, hey, whatever. But, and I felt bad. I didn't want to stand because nobody else was standing. But like, I'm sorry. That's on defense. That's what you do. There were 8 false starts. And of course, you know, the fans feel they're part of that. And Coach Pete Carroll gave the 12s a lot of credit for it. But it just didn't have that. I guess it just had to be where we were sitting.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it, you know. And it's the other thing is you don't want to stand up because if people behind you are sitting and they don't want to stand, then you're obstructing their view, and then, you know, that's a whole problem. But also, if you're going to be the only guy in the section, it's not like we're just applauding, right? If you really want to go 100% at a Seahawks game as a member of the crowd, you've got to be up and screaming as loud as you possibly can. And it was very uncomfortable at times yesterday when no one in the section was doing that. And it was literally just me and you, you know, screaming bloody murder,
right,
you know, on certain third down. So it was awkward. And as great as those seats were, I would rather sit up at the top, you know, and to really feel part of the game more than where we were at.
Hmm. All right, well, we live and learn on that one because, yeah, I did feel bad of screaming right into that woman's ear in front of me. And because you take a big, deep breath and then, like, deep breath! No, until either a flag is flown, the ball is snapped, and then you take a breath and just keep. I remember one time you were, like, 5 years old. And Charlie was with us. What a wasted ticket giving it to Charlie. And Charlie's like, what are you screaming for? I'm like, just start screaming. Keep screaming. But that's you should not be able to talk on Monday.
Which you guys did a good job, though, right? Because defense, they played pretty well. Seahawks did pretty well. And there was a bunch of false starts. And I think you guys can take credit for part of that, don't you think?
Rye pointed out the biggest problem the Seahawks have. And he says they figured us out. The NFL they're way too smart. They know exactly where the weaknesses are for the Seahawks, and it was that longer pass, right, when they, whatever, I don't know what defense we were in, but they were able to break on that post a couple of times, and a better team would have easily had the score going the other way for them.
I don't know. The NFL, it's hard to tell if someone were to play, another team were to play us yesterday, how they would have fared. But that is true. And it's sort of been a slight defect with our defense these past couple of years is long third downs. And then specifically when teams, and here we go, we're going to get football-y, but when teams get into 3-by-1 sets, that means three receivers to one side with an isolated receiver on the backside.
Hang on. Go ahead,
so Ryan. When teams get into those sets, and then when you take the number three receiver, means the closest one to the offensive line, and you put him on sort of a bang seven or an out route, for some reason we got caught with that so many times last year. Carolina hit us on a 3rd and 15. Great throw from Andy Dalton, great route by Adam Thielen. But I mean, it's the NFL. You cannot be giving up wide open receivers on long third downs. It just is something with those backside safeties who get sucked down by the intermediate routes, and it opens up that over-the-top corner route. So that was one of the problems. Overall, I think the defense did a nice job. Obviously, stopping the run was terrific. Last year, we remember, Carolina came in there and ran for what felt like 400 yards against us, and they beat us. But yesterday, they had no success on the ground. Andy Dalton had to throw the ball, I believe it was 50 times. 50 times for a backup quarterback. And that's a really conducive to success if you're going to play defense, making the other team one-dimensional. So we did a good job, especially in the second half, playing defense. Mm-hmm. And we have young guys out there at the corner positions, and you know they're gonna make some mental mistakes.
Yes. All right. Any X's and O questions you want to ask Rye, Jake?
Well, I don't know what anything he just said. I'm not a big sports person, so I
wish Sherry was here to translate.
Yeah, I don't understand bang seven or big three out or whatever you said. But what I did notice, somebody did mention yesterday, Andy Dalton has now played for 5 teams in 5 years. Is that right? Did you guys hear that?
5 teams, Chicago, Dallas, Cincinnati, and then I guess Carolina.
Is he pretty old? Yeah. I mean, is he pretty old? I mean, he's a pretty veteran player, right?
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Carolina brought him in this year because they drafted, they had the number one overall pick. They traded with the Bears, and they drafted a rookie quarterback out of Alabama. So they brought him in to be sort of a mentor. He's a guy who's been around the league for a while. He knows, he's got all the mental chops. Maybe not the physical attributions that he once had, or if he ever had them. He was never that great, let's be honest. But he's been sort of a mentor, and with Bryce Young being hurt, which I didn't even know about until I got to the game and I saw him on the sidelines in a sweatshirt, I was like, oh, I guess he's not playing. Mm. It goes to show how good of an analyst I am. But
yeah, come on, Rye.
Jeez, get
hey,
with
guy,
it.
Hey, that guy's in a sweatshirt. He's easily going to get hurt out there without any pads on.
Yeah, Dalton's been around, and he made some nice plays yesterday. I think he played well, and we were able to match that.
Just, Jake, since you haven't been in a game in a while, just to warn you, NFL ticket prices are rising, attendance is dropping. What are the owners thinking? This is a piece from Bleacher Report. If you were to go to a game, take your kids to a game, you cannot get out of there between parking, right, and then tickets, and then food, and all the rest that goes into it. You are easily looking at, especially if you go to a Seahawks game, $400 or more.
What?
Higher than that, because you pay for the parking, you pay for all this, and it's got to be much higher than that. So if you're a real fan, people are like, and the NFL has put so much money into cameras and television because they realize, well, the real fan is going to stay home. The real fan wants to be able to watch from every single angle, and the NFL is going to get what they can from the people that are sitting there. I said this to Rye. Rye goes, I'm not going to be a monkey either. They treat the NFL, not the Seahawks, but the NFL in general, treats the paying fans sitting in the stands like monkeys. What do I mean by that, Rye?
Well, I think it's more than just the NFL. The MLB, I've been to a million Mariners games this year. The MLB and pretty much all stadiums do it. They need something to entertain the crowd during a TV timeout or between innings, if in the MLB's case. So they put up dumb games and like, hey, cheer if you're from Issaquah. Oh, cheer if your phone number starts with 206. And yeah, it's silly. I've never really bought into it. The Mariners always, between innings, like, just put people on the big screen. Like, they just have a guy in this, like, with a camera just putting people on the big screen, and then they all jump up and start waving. And I've been on the big screen twice, and I never even moved. And I like to stand by that. It's like the guy who's just like, you know what? I will not be
just
entertained
staring
by,
dead-eyed into the camera.
Yeah, I won't be the monkey. You know?
Right, you won't be used as fodder. You know,
well, when
ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the 40-yard line. Little Bobby Johnson, who scored, who got straight A's in history class, now joins us. It's like, no, I'm sorry. You're taking a TV timeout. There are way too many TV timeouts. They treat you like crap. They just try to keep you entertained as they're constantly taking break after break after break after break. And it's like, I know they got to pay the bills with the TV part of it, but they're using you to try to keep you entertained with really, you know, crappy entertainment.
Well,
there's
when
nothing
I was a kid,
entertaining about it.
When I was a kid and I used to attend these things when they were more affordable, because it sounds like they're not affordable now. If I want to take my three sons to a football game now, what would it be, like $1,000?
Yeah, well, you can sell one of your kids at the outside going in.
Well, if I can get them there, they'll be probably stolen before we get there. It's a dangerous field, apparently. But it's a crazy atmosphere. They don't. When I was a kid, they had the hydro races. Do they still have those? They have hydro races on the big screen.
That's an MLB.
That's MLB.
Still do that.
All right, they still do that. Good. All right. Well, some good things never change.
I don't buy into that crap either.
Rye doesn't do that one either. He's not like green one. Nope. No. I'm
still
here for baseball.
Super into it.
Nope. I'm here for baseball or I'm here for football. So quickly, Rye. Seahawks have. Next home game, who's coming in for the next home game? We have an opportunity to have everybody stand, not just the people that are in the expensive seats at the front or the people at the very, very top. I think it's the 11th of October. Is that right? The Seahawks get another home game. But who do they have coming up away? It's a Monday Night Football game, right?
It is a Monday Night Football game. And if we're playing on primetime, we're either going to be playing Dallas or New York, and we're playing New York. It's the dumbest thing ever. They just put these terrible teams on primetime because it's a big audience. But so we got the Giants coming. They have looked... They've looked bad. They looked terrible last Thursday when they played the Niners. They lost 40-0 against the Cowboys in week one. They did beat the Cardinals, but okay, good for them. You know, everyone's going to beat the Cardinals.
So
they've looked rough. I think Saquon Barkley, their bell cow running back, is going to be out. They overpaid for their quarterback. The defense has looked brutal, and the offense has looked stale. So, again, I always find, you know, I dig myself into this hole where it's like, oh, this is going to be another easy game for the Seahawks, and what do you know, it never is. But we're lucky to be 2-1 right now. That's Seattle. We're lucky to be 2-1 because we haven't executed in the red zone. We certainly didn't execute in the red zone yesterday, and third down has been atrocious on both sides of the ball. So we're lucky to be where we are and to have these two wins. And not, you know, digging ourselves into a deep hole that we'll have to climb out of. But it should be a good game on, you know, Pete Carroll always gets the guys ready for those primetime matchups.
By the way, I know Pete's listening right now. So advice in the red zone Pete Carroll. Are you ready? Jake, get ready to be lost. Get ready to be lost in a series of X's and O's, right?
Yeah.
What Pete Carroll needs to do in the red zone.
What's the red zone first? Can you tell me what the red zone is?
No, we don't have time. This is we don't have time for you.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll go ahead, Ryan. Okay, I will not pretend to be an offensive analysis or offensive coordinator, but yesterday something I saw that really bugged me is we would take these sort of low probability shots into the end zone. There's Geno Smith with these like high back five fades or, you know, these like isolation routes to Tyler Lockett on like 2nd and 10. What is the success rate of that play? It's going to be low. Now, Tyler Lockett's a great receiver. He's got great ball skills. But, I mean, is that really? I think the best teams in the league are the most creative teams in the red zone. Teams that like to spread them out, maybe get some guys moving around some orbit motion. We saw the Dolphins yesterday doing no-look shovel passes. The Chiefs have always been, you know, hyper-creative in the red zone with dancing guys and pitching it. Our idea of creativity is just like direct snaps and wildcat to DJ Dallas. Like, who is for who and for what? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think I love Geno Smith, and I trust Geno Smith with the ball in his hands. If you just spread him out five wide, little 3x2, and let him work open space. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he's our first round pick, barely used at all. I think he'd be a great red zone receiver. I don't know. This is just some ideas, some complaints.
There you go, Pete. Take it to the bank, okay? When you're in the red zone, Jake.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Final questions.
I'm going to look up red zone after the segment.
Okay.
I do have a quick question.
Yards in it.
I do have a quick question. This is football related, but it's not Seahawks related. In the remaining time that we have, I was having a conversation on the newsroom about that Dolphins game against Denver, and they were up seven. They won, what was it, 70-20? They beat Denver by 50 points.
Yeah.
And I was asking how Russell Wilson's season is going this year, and is it okay if we are still rooting against him? Because I've heard a lot of people say, all right, he had one bad season, now we can start rooting for him again because we still like him. Do you guys root for Russell Wilson, or are you okay kind of hating him from afar?
I am on the record as being a Russell Wilson supporter, and I would like to see him do well. He did so much good for this franchise, and it's been sad to see the trajectory of his career in Denver. But he looked okay yesterday. I mean, what are you going to do? Your defense gives up 70 points. You know, it's not realistic for us to expect him to stay in that game. But yeah, we support Russell Wilson. They also put up on the game yesterday, they put up on the scoreboard, hey, look at this. Denver just got blown out by 50 points, and everybody cheers and ha ha, you know, suck it, Russ. They just,
doesn't seem nice. Yeah.
But finally, what was the tweet from head coach of the Broncos to Russell about 2 weeks ago or a week ago that you noticed, right?
Oh, it was he wanted Russell to, you're not kissing babies and running for office, you're a quarterback. You know, like, bring it down a couple levels with your ego and with your self-image, you know? It's not all about you, it's not all about his whole hashtag Team 3 brand.
That was from his coach?
Yes.
And that was in public? He texted that in public so everyone could see it?
He said it in public and everybody tweeted it.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. That's not good.
The new owner there at the Broncos put a lot of money into it. They brought in a coach that knows how to coach. He's basically telling Russell that, you know what, mind on the game, not on all the other stuff. Hmm. Right, Roller, thank you. From Section V, Seat, Section 207, Row V, Seat 11 and 12. Talking sports with Rye. All right, get back to your schooling.
I will.
Wow. Yeah, there's the killer attitude. All right, thanks, Rye Roller. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, Nate, did you get all that? Did you figure all that? The red zone, everything else? Slam bang, releasing the ends and all that other jazz? Okay, I'll take that as a no. There you go. That's it. There's the spirit, huh? Right? Good job, Jake.
Woo. I've been working on that one.
I could tell.
A couple put weeks now. I'm ready.
Yeah, put that in your book. All right, here comes Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Remember, the car is giving you trouble. Take your car to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. Been around for 53 years. No better place to take that car of yours than Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Another study came out just the other day that apparently we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Number of people that were considered to be obese, I think it was like 11 or 14% about 20 years ago. Where are we now? What's the percentage of adults that are overweight? Are we over 48% or something like
We've
that?
We've climbed now? Above 40%. That's right. Just 10 years ago, back in 2012, it was pretty low. And now it's over 40%.
40%. They say it continues and they expect it to continue. Within by 2030, more than 60% of adults in America will be considered to be obese, and then you can get into morbidly obese and stuff like that. This ongoing enlarging of the body, the human body in America, part of it is some people think, well, it's two things. One is we don't move around enough, we don't get enough exercise, and then they also, those that are advocating for people to lose weight or at least try to get a BMI, body mass index, something below 30-some percent, they say, well, it's part of the fat acceptance movement, which started in the 60s, and it was basically saying, you know, we don't want to be discriminated against, and it's okay to be fat, it's okay to be obese, and it doesn't mean you're unhealthy. Stop judging us, and this is a choice that I'm making to be this large, and I don't want to be made to feel bad about it. A lot of medical institutions they don't want to get attacked because although they'll tell you, you can make that choice if it is your choice, and you won't live as long, and being fat and being obese is not a healthy choice if you want to have a longer life. with
comes with a lot of complications, comes with a lot of heart disease, things like that,
right,
which is a huge killer in the country, and that comes with being overweight.
There's a great quote. I wish I could remember who said it, but it was, I know a lot of old guys, and I've known a lot of fat guys, but I've never known a lot of old fat guys.
Yeah.
Right. So when Jillian Michaels came out and was talking about people that were overweight, and she said, you know, it's not healthy. I don't care how you put it, Jillian Michaels from Biggest Loser. She got blasted. She said, oh, I'll try to learn more. But she still stood by the fact that being overweight, having a body mass index over 30-some percent is just, no matter how you slice it, if you just want to be considered to be accepted, it's not healthy. And until the medical industry stands up and says, this isn't good for you, and if you do fat acceptance, then in effect you are doing harm by not informing. So it's now still kind of an ongoing social, another cultural war that...
I've seen this too on, you know, everything's about influencers now. They have like body positivity, very heavy influencers who are part of the, you know, fat positive movement. And,
yes.
And that's, it's kind of everywhere now. So you're right. If you speak out against it, or you say like, hey, maybe this isn't the healthiest of lifestyles, there is a whole... very vocal part of society that would say you're, you know, singling people out and you're not being fair. So it's kind of, it's tricky.
Well, it gets into, you know, are you doing it out of a place where you're, is it come out of a concern for the individual, or is it a place of just, you know, pure, you know, disgust and hatred or whatever else? It was the motivated negative feeling for the person that's overweight. But, you know, just facts are facts. And if you are overweight, you stand a chance of diabetes, you have cardiovascular system problems, you have you're immune compromised. If you look at what COVID did, it basically took mostly old people, and then it took people that were obese. They have a better idea of why that is, having to do with the fat cells and where the virus would get into the fat cells. You know, it was wiping out older people and people overweight. And this piece from the Washington Post, I think it was today or yesterday, found out that the folks that used to give you tobacco, that sold tobacco with all of its addictive properties, now have decided they're going to get into the junk food industry.
This is actually something they've been in for a while now. They decided in the 1980s, when the trend for smoking was starting to dissipate a little bit, they decided to diversify their business interests. And they thought, well, okay, let's jump from one addiction to another. And if we can get invested in some of these companies that sell some of these fatty foods, people really love to eat fatty foods, which makes sense.
Yes.
But then they found out, when they started looking into the foods that these companies own, these tobacco companies own, they were like 80% more likely to have certain ingredients that were very, very addictive to the eater. So, you know, if somebody might be drinking something with extra sugar, or there's a bunch of things called, like, these foods were more typical to have, or more commonly found, brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, and then certain dyes that kind of made the foods very desirable.
Yeah, and a lot of those chemicals are illegal in other countries, but here in the United States, they can continue to put them in there. The cost to, one, the society by having people that are eating in an addictive manner and gaining so much weight, I think it's like $190 some billion in medical, and then also productivity, generally loss of the enjoyment of life to be able to, you know, to be active. So what's to be done about it? Society, especially American society, really doesn't do much. Although this group and this employer in Australia, they are now, is it for all the employees? If you want to get on that drug, you can get on there. So company offering to pay for that, the new drug that came out about a year ago, Ozempic.
Yeah, Ozempic, which you've probably heard about if you are a person who watches any of those Real Housewives shows. That's kind of a controversial thing that they talk about on there. But the idea is basically you have this drug that's meant for diabetes and to help treat diabetes, also has this side effect where it helps people lose weight and very quickly.
Yeah.
And so people are getting these prescriptions that they shouldn't necessarily be getting. The drug is now going, like, there's a shortages of this drug now because it's such an effective weight loss supplement. And this company emailed all their staff and said, hey, there's a really great way to lose weight. We're not doctors. We're not telling you to take it. But if you're interested, we will help pay for this to help you lose some weight.
Yeah, and
which is then cheaper for them in the long run, I guess, with health concerns for their employees if they're skinnier.
Sure. Yeah, you're less likely to cost, you know, a little bit more money down the road, or a lot more money down the road. So that's, or you know what, you can go to Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. We got slipped a spot into the middle of the news.
Smart.
Yeah. Brandi Cruz lost 40 pounds. Brandi had her big wedding out here at the barn on Saturday.
Congratulations.
She looked beautiful.
She and Mike tied the knot.
Yep. Dave Wyman did the officiating. He did, or whatever that would be considered. He took the place of Dory. He called me up and goes, how do you pronounce this word? and then an hour later, where do you live again? So I had to send him the address. But apparently it was a lovely time.
Sounds like a good choice for a future officiant if anybody's looking.
He was great. I know you were not invited, right?
Well, no, I wasn't say I wasn't invited. I didn't receive an invitation per se, but you know, we're still very close. We're very close.
Really? A lot of her close friends were there.
You know what? I think she knew I was busy, right? So like, she knows I have a lot of. I have three small kids. It's a Saturday. It's tough to get out and about. She gets it.
Yeah, they had free daycare here, by the way. Vermont is an interesting state. It never gets more population in or out. They basically have a socialist representing them in the Senate. I almost moved there right after September 11th. 2001, because I thought I just got to get away from everything and try to take my kids and raise them in small town. I almost bought a bakery out there. Glad I didn't. Vermont is a weird, real kind of weird backward state.
Do you know how to bake also? Would that have been a good?
No, Lace was a pastry chef, and I had all plans and everything. I'll tell you the story sometime, but people go there this time of the year because they're there for the peepers, but Vermont is saying, no, stay home. According to Today Show.
Yeah, they don't want people to visit.
You've probably seen Sleepy Hollow Farm on Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah. From here, we'll stop by the famous Sleepy Hollow Farm, which we've all seen all over social media.
When the leaves change, this quaint little spot rivals Grand Central Station.
This is insane.
Hundreds of cars line the narrow road, trying to get that perfect pic.
It's worth dealing with the crowds because this is the most picturesque place in Vermont.
The problem is, it's not an actual tourist destination, but somebody's private residence with real-life neighbors.
People showing up and walking all over private property and peeing on the side of the road and on private property.
Neighbors like Mike Doten and Amy Robb say it's out of control.
We see people in dressing rooms, like they bring dressing rooms to change in different outfits and take pictures.
Oh, no. And it's not just privacy, it's safety too. Emergency vehicles often forced to wait in the traffic. So this year, neighbors petitioned to close the road to outside traffic from September 23rd to October 15th, raising the money themselves to cover most of the costs.
Yes, it's beautiful up here, but please, could you make it so that our everyday stuff can get done? Like, I'm just trying to get home with groceries so I can make dinner. Okay? Mm-hmm.
It's only New England towns pushing back against tourists looking for likes. Across the pond in Europe, Hallstatt, Austria, which resembles Arendelle in the Disney movie Frozen, sees more than a million tourists each year. Now, its 750 residents have blocked the only road in. Venice just approved.
No, that's an evidence.
Oh, you get the general idea. They don't want you to come there.
They're blocking the roads. Is that legal for them to? I'm not talking about the Austria one. I don't care about the Austria one. But the one in Vermont, I mean, I've always, my wife and I talk about seeing the beautiful fall foliage every year. Yes. We say, hey, that'd be fun to go see. So can we not do that anymore? Is that not going to happen?
When they say blocking the roads, I think what they're talking about is the fact that, you know, there's just a bunch of cars and then the people have to drive around them. The weird thing is about Vermont with their sort of anti-capitalist idea, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that those people bring into that little town and to the surrounding areas of Vermont, they spend money, they go to the hotels, they eat dinner, they go to the restaurants, they go to the bakeries and everything else. They don't want people coming in and blocking their road to get the pictures of the trees. Once this one little neighborhood says no more, there'll be others that'll say the same thing. It's a beautiful spot, and if the weather doesn't change right away, it is absolutely breathtaking. I used to go up there probably when I lived on the East Coast, I would always make a trip there at this time to go see the trees.
Do they have anything besides, you know, like, do they have another industry in Vermont? I mean, do they have?
Most people there have three jobs. They call it the stool, that you got to have three legs on the stool.
Ah, is that so how they talk?
Yeah, sure. No, that's more Maine, but Vermont's got a little bit of that.
You know, I
Patrick's Farm remembers.
I always thought they sold maple syrup there. Is that right?
That's a maple syrup. Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's, are they there as well? Ah, Ben and Jerry there as well. That's more. that was a bad impression. Is Ben and Jerry there as well? Isn't that where they're from?
They're not there anymore. Ben and Jerry's is from Vermont.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, that makes sense.
I'll tell that story about it. I was this close to giving the guy $229,000 to buy this bakery called, I can't remember the name of the place, and this woman at the Dorset Inn talked me out of it.
And that changed. And this, you
Gregor's. The place was called Gregor's. It was in Dorset, Vermont.
You would have been there now, just like... selling bread.
Oh, no. I would have been out of there in 18 months trying to sell the dream to another guy that thought, oh, I own a bakery in a small town. It would be idyllic.
Have you ever seen that movie Funny Farm with Chevy Chase?
No.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're describing. It doesn't matter. It's an old movie. Bad reference.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Too late. You already broke the whole show. It's reaching out.